Blog Talk Radio.
Song was for you, baby. 6:03 p.m. on the clock, 9/7/2023, ladies and gentlemen. Lone Wolf with you. It's either the Punisher, of course, live in some undisclosed location here in the Northwest, as usual. And we're on Blog Talk Radio tonight, Alternative Public Radio International, streaming on Lone Wolf Radio and iHeart Radio and Apple and, gosh, I don't know, Spotify and this, that, and the other, and then some. It's good to have all of you here tonight. Had a request for a show, and I thought, damn, we've been doing so many crazy shows, you know, and a lot of bad news and stuff, and I thought, well, okay, I'm just going to try to be kind of happy tonight, but, you know, I was happy. We helped a lot of folks last night after the show was over. We had Raphael, and we had so many people coming for help last night. And I was just blessed to be able to help all of these people. We help last night. You know, all night long, it went on and on and on to me. People coming in for help. We do a lot of things that we probably would get in trouble for in the real world. That's like taking care of people medically because they can't go to the hospital because they're schizophrenic or they're, you know, whatever, and they don't trust anybody but us, you know. And so I take care of them, whether they've been shot, stabbed, or whatever they, whatever the deal is, you know, we take care of them. And I never turn anybody away here. I have all those crazy skills, but we've been helping a lot of people, man. We got a lot of kids' bikes fixed today. I feel good to see the smiles on their faces. I bought my little sweetheart. This one little girl calls me Uncle. I bought her a little shirt, little sweet little pink shirt, and I took it to her, and she was just so happy and hugged me and kissed me, and I just, it makes me just smart saying to just help these low-income kids, you know, that have been just thrown away kind of by society. And it lifts me up, man, to help people, you know. And I don't expect anything in return. You know, Marion and I were talking about this on the way back from the mountains, and she said, you know, how do you feel? You know, and I said, I just feel elated, man. I just feel elated. It's like the greatest feeling in the world to really help people that deserve help and need help and are reaching out for help, you know. And you can, if you can do something for them, damn it, do something for them. You know, and that's a message that all of you need to take to the bank, you know. We've had several requests for this, Joe, and I think it's time to do this show. I really didn't want to do it tonight. I felt so good, and I felt so healed in my heart, my soul, my spirit, my consciousness, but I'm going to do it anyway because there's been so many requests. And it's about prepping, man. It's about prepping. It's about being prepared, you know. I want to talk to everybody tonight who's weathering the storm with us, man. You know, we're all weathering this storm, you know, and that we're all being confronted with here in 2023. I really don't want to get into the political aspects of this tonight. I'm not going to, really. But I am going to get into the fact that we're all weathering the storm here, trying to weather the storm, all of you. We're all in this together. We're all being confronted with the same types of nefarious and diabolical and dystopic things in 2023. And it's a Mad Max type scenario, you know, of world. It's a Mad Max kind of world, and it will only get worse, ladies and gentlemen, I promise you. It is only going to get worse, you know, but you must try and learn to avoid the pitfalls. You know, and that's what Faith is here for, and myself and Chris and others. Try to really, really help you avoid the pitfalls and the propaganda and keep yourself tuned up spiritually and physically and mentally and vibrationally and energetically tuned up and as healthy as possible. Stay as healthy as possible. You know, the objective should not be to fix what is broken. That's really something Faith and I talked about the other night. And, you know, I had said something to someone, I think it was Faith, about being a fixer. You know, like Faith and I are both fixers. We want to fix everybody, you know. And the objective at this point in time should not really be to fix what is broken, but to learn to navigate this very complex matrix that we're stuck in here and stay under the radar so that you do not stand out in the crowd. And I'll discuss a little bit more, and I'm sure Faith will too later about that. Do not stand out in the crowd. You know what I mean? I encourage all of you to move off grid. This is something that is going to be hard for many of you. I've gotten a lot of email today since I started talking about this. I've gotten a lot of PMs, people saying, you know, Tyler, we just can't get off grid like you guys, you know. We just can't buy a $20,000 rig like you guys and stuff it full of stuff and take off, you know, down the road. I understand that, but I'm telling you, try to get off grid. And, you know, I encourage all of you to do that and get away from the large cities, ladies and gentlemen. I'm warning all of you, and I'm really not trying to scare any of you tonight, but I am trying to make you wake up and take a hard look at what I'm saying. Get out and get away from the large cities. These will be major targets in the event of an attack of any kind, or civil disturbance or uprising, and it will be very, very, very dangerous and even deadly to live in these large cities. If you are not prepping now, you need to start, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not prepping now, you need to start, and that's what this show is all about tonight. You must be mentally prepared, as I said, for what is coming. And this is where faith probably comes in, more than me. But you need to be mentally, spiritually prepared for what is coming, because it will be unlike anything you have ever experienced before in your lifetime, okay? We're in the fourth industrial revolution right now. We're in the final epoch of this regime change. And this happens about every 125 to 150 years. And we have another major change every 25,000 years. And right now you're involved in a major regime change. And you're going to need to learn to use all of your skills and all of your experience and your talent and your tenacity and your courage through this, okay? And you're going to need to plan your escape and put together a bug-out bag and a bug-in bag. And I'm going to ask Faith here in a moment. I may embarrass some of my team here because I'm going to question everyone as to their level of preparedness and seriousness about what is coming. And if you plan on staying where you are, we call that bugging in, you know, if you plan on staying where you live, make sure the dwelling is a fortress. Make sure you're living in a fortress. And if it's not a fortress, make it a fortress. And we'll be talking about a little bit about how to do that tonight. And be very proficient in the use of weapons and personal security and personal safety devices, okay? And we're going to talk about weapons. It's going to be very important tonight to talk about the different types of weapons, okay? I'm a personal security advisor, and I've dealt with a lot of this kind of stuff, and so we're going to talk about that. Remember, when folks are hungry, and this is something that many of you do not like, and one of my former co-hosts got really pissed off at me for saying this because she's an animal lover. I mean, she's just an animal nut. And she got really mad at me, and she was mad at me for about a week. And we finally made up, you know, and she was like, oh, I'm sorry, Kyler. But when folks get hungry, they will kill you. They will kill you for a bag of beans. And they will kill you for what you have, and especially if they have children, if they have young children, they will become extremely violent against what they need to take care of those children, ladies and gentlemen. And they will eat your dog. They will eat your cat, your bird, your goat, your cow, pig, and your hamster. And they will eat they will eat your children if they get hungry enough. And this is where some of you hung up on me last time and then called back 3 weeks later apologizing when you found out that people actually do this all over the world and have done this all over the world. I mean, when you're hungry, you will eat your friends that are dying next to you. You will literally boil them up in the soup. And people don't like to talk about this kind of thing, but I'm telling you, in a grid-down situation, this is going to be inevitable. You're going to face these kinds of challenges. And I know it's something that many of you just don't want to talk about. But this is the kind of show where we have to talk about it, okay? This is what makes this show what it is, okay? When people get hungry and people are afraid, people are starving and they're thirsty, they will do anything. And I mean any, and you can't trust anyone, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot trust anyone, not even your closest neighbor, not even the guy across the street that's been mowing your lawn for 3 years. You can't trust anybody except maybe people in your own family, maybe. And maybe a soulmate, like Faith and I are soulmates. I don't think we would kill and eat each other. Chris and I probably wouldn't. Spanky and I probably wouldn't. Honor Guard and I could probably make it together. Because we're a tribe. We're a tribe. We're a true tribe. You know, we're a community. We're a family. But people become very dangerous in these types of situations. And as far as security for your house, ladies and gentlemen, you should do this anyway. I mean, even if we don't have a major grid down situation, you should have locks, really strong gate bolts on all of your doors. You should have double locks, triple locks on your doors, locks on your windows. I would suggest a reasonably priced security system for your house. When somebody opens a window, you know it, or a door, you know it, or whatever. I would have security lights that are activated by movement outside your front, back, and sides, and any areas of the home outside that aren't lit up, I would put those reactive lights in. And weapons, ladies and gentlemen, you should have weapons everywhere. I mean, literally everywhere. Watch the show, The Punisher, and I'm going to ask Faith tonight to watch The Punisher. I mean, you should have weapons in the drawer, in the living room, in the bedroom. You should have them under the bed. You should have them under the mattress. You should have them in places over the mantle, hidden with a picture. You should have a knife pick, you know, here, and a knife there, a pocket knife here, and a screwdriver there. And you should have a gun, a weapon, a pistol here and a pistol there, one in the garage where they're going to tie you up and string you up and, you know, all this kind of stuff. You should have weapons everywhere and know how to use those weapons, okay? And don't do like some people and put a baseball bat by the front door. We were laughing about this yesterday with some folks. Don't put your baseball bat by the front door and say, I've got a baseball bat right by the front door. The person's going to come in and beat you to death with it. So don't put it by the front door or whatever you do. And so, you know, and if you're going to prep with food, you know, when it comes to food, and Faith, I'm going to let you have the floor here in a minute. And I don't know where Chris is. Can you get a message out and find out what's going on with him, Mary, please? What's going on with Chris? Producer, wake up. Find out what's going on with Chris, would you? As far as food, put your store of food in the front kitchen is fine. In the middle cupboard is fine. But let that be a prop. Let those be props. Let those be a trick and a treat. Hide all of the real food in the backyard. Bury it. Put it under the house. Put it somewhere in the woods. Put it away from the house. This way, when you give people like all you've got, they might be nice enough to say, well, we've got all we got now. We got our shelves are empty, so we're not going to kill her. We're not going to beat him up. We're just going to leave. You know, we got everything. Put the real stuff away. Hide the real tree and all that kind of thing, okay? Put it, and if you put it in the attic, make sure and hide it way, way back in the rafters and cover it up with insulation. You know what I mean? You got to go to extremes, okay, in these covert, overt operations, okay, in times like these. And sanitation is also very important, Bob. You're not going to have a toilet to flush in a grid down situation. So where are you going to go poo? You know, you're going to have to get a 5-gallon bucket times three at Home Depot and put contractor trash bags in them and go to the bathroom in those buckets. And then when they're a little bit full, tie them up really tight and put them out in the backyard, in the woods, and just set them there. And when cooking, never use spices. Spices draw in the zombies. Spices draw in the zombies. You never want to cook. Eat as much dry food, canned food as you possibly can, because when the zombies are hungry and they smell you cooking, man, they're going to come to you like a lightning bug, like a bug to a light, like a moth to a flame, okay? They're going to be attracted to your cooking, your kitchen, okay? And it's going to be over for you, okay? And never, 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 never fall for the old trick. Bang, 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 bang. Can you please help us? My little girl just got hit by a car, or my little girl's bleeding, or don't fall for anything in a grid down situation. Don't open the door for anyone. I don't care who they are, and I don't care what kind of problem they say they're having. Don't open the door. If you have to, shoot them through the door. Because at this point in time, rule of law will be broken down and it won't exist, okay? When the rule of law is gone, it's the law of the jungle, okay? And anything goes, baby. Anything goes. And it's like the Purge. If any of you saw the Purge, you know what I'm talking about. Don't let anyone in your house that's not already in your house and has been vetted and you know who they are. Unless you know who they are, do not let them in unless you know them well, okay? And they're supposed to be coming, okay? So be very careful with all that kind of stuff. Faith, do you have anything to add to this beautiful, beautiful night of preparing, prepper, covert prepping, and getting ready? Have you thought about it this seriously, Faith?
Oh, for sure. That's why I began my nonprofit, We Sustain Earth, and then I did my 501c3, We Sustain All, and I'm doing global relief efforts to teach others how to create sustainable habitats naturally everywhere that we can and are able to accomplish that goal, teaching the children in school survival methods, giving them textbooks on what grows there naturally that they can work with as a study to know how to cure themselves of certain and specific sicknesses as well as their family members. If anything and everything goes down or closes again in quarantine, then there's also gardens available at the schools and then also at each home, because I believe that every single child, every single family should be given a biome habitat for inside and or outside so that they can survive with what they eat naturally. I believe each and every being having their own habitat means that each and every being gets a serving of food every day if they continue to let that garden grow and then they expand it. Yes, it creates beautiful, beautiful energy in and outside of the home. But say that there's something going on outside with pollutants, then the food is safe inside those biome habitats. And then the earth is also healing in that safety zone. So digging it deep enough where any and all chemicals will not be able to get or penetrate those areas, and then constantly making sure that there's renewable soil happening within the dome with the natural fungi and the natural molecular structure that's being created within the habitat based on what's growing inside. Also, I used to rest with a machete on both sides of the mattress, multiple weapons in multiple locations. I am very powerful. I can put my hand out and they can stop and they'll start shaking. People shake in my presence. They literally cannot move. People are, and many beings are afraid to even step in my direction and mess with me because they're scared that something might happen to them. I'm a peaceful, loving light being. Yes, I have abilities and I'm really careful with them. But if I was in a situation where somebody was seeking to attack me, I could stop them immediately from doing that. That's any and all species. And I've successfully been able to do that and create a protection shield that makes others inside of an invisible space. So I've had to protect others before. They were in a really, they really needed help. So I did that, and they were completely protected from that. I'm also a really powerful healer, so I can do it. I can do things. I can change the air quality. I can make things happen. So I learned to work with my abilities. I am amazing with blades. I am an amazing sharpshooter. I was taught how to shoot at 13 by my father to protect myself, as it was Oakland. And if any of you know about Oakland and the Bay Area, it was even the Ku Klux Klan, Aryan Nation, Black Panthers. There's a lot of different things, and also the Vario going on in the Bay Area. It's like a melting pot. So I had to learn how to do self-defense early on because of threats that had occurred. My father taught me how to shoot. I could be a sniper if I wanted to be, but I put away the certain weapons so that my children are safe and protected, because I don't want them accidentally hurting themselves as well. So any and all of my weapons that I have are hidden in safe areas, but I do not believe in weapons uses when I have abilities. If I had to use them, I would acknowledge where they're at. As pertaining to food, I have massive gardens here outside. Now, it's really different. Everything is happening with smoke. I didn't eat the fruit there for 2 years because of the fires that had happened. And I wanted to make sure that anything that we eat is completely pure. So what I had to do was bring the seeds inside. We started to have storage in our garage, in our cabinets. We have a lot of cabinets. I do have a fortress. I have extra strong windows. My room's on the third floor. We have a lot of spaces that we could easily go into, say there was something that had happened. Our neighbors are very close. I have sirens all around my house that's hugely bright. It's brighter than the police car sirens. And then I have really, really loud alarms that you could hear from all the way, like a mile, probably about a mile distance, maybe a mile and a half. And we have cameras everywhere, and if the cameras were not needed, obviously, if there's an emergency or when there's emergency situations, we bunk in. My children, they know how to crawl by windows, how to be really careful, how to be stealth. I've taught my children martial arts, different types of techniques of survival as well, and I studied survival methods, practices, so I'm ready. And I do have multiple areas of land that I can travel to, and I have my own soldiers as well as guardians and protectors who will come pick me up and take us.
Wow, yeah. See, that's the kind of co-host I need right here. That's good. That's what faith is all about. That's fantastic. Survival, survivors, bug in, bug out bags, bug out location. Let's, you're feeding back again, Faith. I don't
I'll
know why. Maybe
you
need to turn your volume down a little bit or something. I don't know.
Okay, I'll bring it down.
Well, I hate for you to mute. I don't like for you to mute, but if you have to, you have to. Or I can mute you and open you back up. How about that? Let me mute you and open you back up. Okay, so that's good. Now, survival, survivors, bug in, bug out bag. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a bug in bag be. It needs to be as complicated as you are. I prefer a massive bug-in bag. I mean, I prefer a massive amount of bug-in equipment, supplies, and materials. But you really have to know how to use all that stuff and where to put it and where to hide it and how to utilize it and all that kind of thing. So I don't recommend this to everybody, but do as much as you're skilled to do and as much as you're brave enough to do and as much as you're talented enough to handle with a bug-in situation. You need to have, like we said, like Faith said, your fortress needs to be complete. It needs to be ready to go for war. And Faith won't tell you this, but I will, because I'm the lion. I'm the mean guy. People are coming to eat you. People are coming to kill you. You know, Faith speaks more of a sweetness and a lovingness and a compassion and kind of a soft kind of thing. But I know Faith can fight, and I know Faith's a warrior. But I'm telling you, people are coming to eat your children. I mean, they're coming to eat your children. They're coming to kill you, rape you. murder you, you know. And there, this is not funny, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a game. This is a very serious situation. I've been in three of these situations where I had to literally fight for my life, okay? I've been in three of these situations. And people are violent. Gangs are dangerous. Gangs are violent. Let me tell you something. When these grid down situations happen, these types of situations happen, the shit hits the fan, they're going to be, you're going to be dealing with MS-13. You're going to be dealing with Dos Loco. You're going to be dealing with East Side Locos. You're going to be dealing with all of these different kinds of biker gangs. You're going to be dealing with gangs that have just randomly come together to go out and pilfer and pillage and rape and maim and molest and murder. So it's a very dangerous situation you're in. Do not ever, ever, ever take it lightly. Do not ever think, oh, well, you know, I'm prepared. You're never prepared enough. You are never, ever, ever, ever prepared enough. Never. When you think you're completely prepared, you have just started. You've missed something. Water purity is important because you can go without food, okay? You can go without food for 30 days, okay? It's been done. You can't go without water, okay? You'll die. You'll dehydrate, okay? You're going to have water. I would suggest water filtration. I would suggest the straws that you can buy. I would suggest all types of water purification tablets. I would suggest the boiling of the water. And I would suggest learning how to use the pipelines in your home and break into them to get the excess water out of the pipe. It'll still be there because the electrical companies won't be pumping it in. It takes energy to pump it in, but you can find it if you know how to get in there and get to it. And allow for the leverage, downhill leverage to give you some water. Water is key, though. Water is key. I mean, you could save your life by trading a case of water to some marauders that are out there, some crazy family that's just so thirsty and their children are just dehydrated as hell. You can save your life by having a case of water to give them, you know, slide through the door, slide through the window or something. But make sure the water's filtered. Make sure you're careful with the water because it can get pathogens in it and all types of bacteria. Once the water's shut off, all that bacteria starts to grow and all those pathogens start to grow and all those poisons and toxins start to get very deadly. So make sure you have fresh water around. And fire is very important also. I wanted to mention you don't want any smoke coming out of your house. That's why I said don't cook. And as far as lights are concerned, don't turn on the lights at night. Don't turn on the lights in the daytime. Use pin lights for everything you do. Use pin lights. Don't shine them toward the windows. Don't shine them toward the double doors in your back bedroom or living room. Don't be shining the lights where somebody can know you're in there. You want to be invisible. You want to be completely stealthy invisible, okay, in your home all the time. Just as long as this grid down, this lawless situation is going on, this Mad Max situation is going on. Slingshots. I want to tell you something about slingshots. And Faith, this might be an idea for you. I've got a really professional wrist rocket, and it fits to my wrist and goes in my hand, and it's got three thick rubber pieces on both sides, and I can fire my little ball bearing, they'll go through a steel sign. I mean, these things, I've done it. These things are like a 22 caliber rifle, man. Let me tell you something. These people don't want to mess with these damn slingshots. They just won't come near them, okay? You also need a taser where you can fire a taser at someone, maybe a few tasers. I would get five tasers if I were you. You also, people don't like those tasers. They don't like the stun guns, okay? 400,000 volts coming through their body. Now, people don't like stun guns, and I don't get pepper spray, whatever you do. Don't run out and get these little bottles of pepper spray, okay? Get the bear spray, okay? That stuff will shoot 15, 20 feet, and I guarantee you, you can take out five people with it in 20 seconds. I mean, it's badass, man. Get the bear spray, bear repellent, okay? Get the bear repellent, people, okay? Make sure and have coal oil lanterns available. Make sure and have flashlights. flashlights and lots of batteries available, an extra store of batteries and flashlights. I can teach you how to do all kinds of things with batteries, too, as far as starting fires with batteries and doing all kinds of neat stuff with batteries. Be consistent in your training, and like Faith said, teach your children what's going on, okay? People say, oh, I don't want to scare my children, Kyler. There's no way I'm going to scare my children, Kyler. Well, then have your children just eat. Put them on a plate and just serve them up, okay? How about that? Train your children. Teach your children that life is not always good. People are not always nice, and that bad things happen. And when bad things happen, good people need to know what to do. Get away from the bad people, okay? Teach your, okay, if they're 10, 8 years old, they're smart enough to understand all this stuff, probably better than you, okay, in many ways. Stay positive, okay? Stay positive. It's very, very hard to do in a grid-down situation. Very, very hard to do in a real grid-down situation. And most of you I'm talking to right now that are listening, never been in the trenches, you've never been shot at, you've never been chased with a knife, you've never had a hand grenade thrown in your lap. I have. You've never been in a situation where people were coming to eat you, people were coming to kill you. I have. But you've got to be positive, you got to stay focused all the time. You have to stay completely focused all the time on the target, on the situation, and on the potential consequences of something you missed in the planning stages of this whole thing. Fear will get you in trouble. You know, fear will get you in trouble. You've got to be fearless, like Faith is. You've got to be fearless. You can hear the fearlessness in Faith's voice. Fearless, you've got to be fearless. The only thing that I would disagree with Faith about is I wouldn't try to talk my way out of anything. And I wouldn't try to spiritualize my way through anything, and I wouldn't try to be compassionate or loving through anything, and I wouldn't trust the damn soul. I wouldn't trust Buddha himself. So that's probably where Faith and I draw the line, maybe differ a little bit, is I don't trust anybody, and I'm not going to let anybody in or near the house. I don't care if they're holding a bloody little girl in their hands. They could make all that stuff up. They could have fake blood, ketchup. I've seen it all. I've seen it all, okay? And you can't do it. I've known people that have gotten killed because of letting people in, using their children as bait, okay? But the slingshot's a good idea. Learn how to use the slingshot, and it's like a .22 rifle. Stay consistent. Stay positive. Be fearless. Fearless living is good. Fearless living is good. Know the enemy. Know the enemy. Read The Art of War. At least once, read The Art of War at least once. But please, read The Art of War. And know the enemy. You have to know your enemy, okay? The more you know about your enemy, the safer you're going to be and the more prepared you're going to be. The authorities, don't let the authorities in, okay? You will have people dressed up like authorities that are not authorities that have killed police officers and killed military officers and dressed up like them, and now they're coming to your house to pretend they're going to help you. Don't trust them. Don't trust them, okay? You got to have a tribe. Your neighbors, now here's something very interesting. You can be a covert prepper, and nobody in the neighborhood will know what you're doing, okay? Nobody, not even your own family will know what you're doing, okay? Except maybe two or three. Be a covert prepper. There's a lot of covert preppers out there that they would not tell you they were a prepper for $1,000, $10,000. They would not tell you anything, okay? Now, an overt prepper is an open prepper, someone who is looking for neighbors to come in, looking for the community to come in, looking to form some kind of tribe. That's very dangerous. Let me tell you, there's a downside to that. The downside is giving away information that doesn't need to be given away, allowing people to know things they don't need to know, giving away secrets that could just be yours and your children and your tribe alone. It's very dangerous to let people know that you're a prepper because they know where to come to now to get all the goodies, okay? They know where to come to get all the goodies, okay? Because you've opened your big mouth and told them that you're a prepper. So make up your mind who you're talking to. Be very careful who you trust in your community, your neighbors included. Communication, having barter tools, having things to trade and barter. I suggest tobacco, whiskey, marijuana, Darvocet, Demerol, even a little LSD if you can buy a sheet of LSD, silver, tobacco, matches, anything that is going to help that other family or those other people get by a little further down the road if they're bugging out, if they're bugged out and they have to stop at your place. Give them something to survive on. Give them a gun. Give them, thing. I mean, depending on the situation, just you have to just gauge the situation individually, okay? It depends on how serious it is, and it depends on your communication skills and your analytical skills as to whether you're going to make it through the situation or not when it comes to dealing with strange individuals, strangers. But barter trade exchange will start to take place in a more cohesive way about 3 weeks into the down situation. People will start to come out of their holes and they'll start to barter and trade with a little less aggressiveness and violence, okay? So be ready to barter and trade. So have something to barter and trade like water, tobacco, marijuana, whiskey, things like that, okay? And make sure you're up on your skills, like Faith said, make sure you're up on your skills. You'll be trading skills to get food. Eventually, in a grid-down situation, you'll be trading your skills and your talents. You might be able to make weapons. You might be able to cook the best food. You might be able to start the best fires. You may be able to understand how to dig a cellar in a special way, and just all kinds of crazy things. Whatever your talents are, use them. You'll be using them in a grid-down situation. As far as, let's see what I'm missing here, shelter in place. If sheltering in place is probably a good idea if you're not in the city. If you're in the city, it's going to be up to you. You're not going to have transportation. Remember this, in a grid-down situation, you're going to be on a bicycle or a motorcycle or a motor scooter, okay? Motor scooter pooter. You're going to be on a motor scooter or a bicycle, okay? Or a skateboard, okay? So make sure that you have some kind of transportation. If you walk out, you're going to be in danger from the minute you step out of your front door. You're going to be in grave danger. So remember this, grave danger. The minute you step out your front door, the minute you open those locks, you're open prey. You're open prey. So if you're going to bug in, bug in. If you have to bug out, you're going to have some new talents to learn, some new skills to learn, and you're going to have some new equipment and things that you're going to have to figure out what to take with you when you leave. Because all of the cars won't start. If any car or vehicle that's got a chip in it in a grid-down situation with a WMP, with a direct energy type of weapon that's going to knock out the grids, none of your vehicles will run. Nothing will run that's got a specific type of chip in it. So your bicycle might be the best way to go, or on foot might be the best way to go. Plan your escape routes early, like today, tomorrow. You know, I'm being a little crazy here, but plan your escape routes. If your kids are at school, make sure your kids know where to hide. You're coming to get them. Make sure they know how to get home, like little tribesmen. Make sure that they know how to slip home. Make sure they know where to come, where to go, where to hide. Never let them get on a bus in a grid-down situation. Never have them hop on the bus when the teachers say, okay, everybody get on the bus now. Tell them, no, 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 no. You wait. You come home to mommy. We're gonna make a plan for that, okay? So y'all make a plan for that. Buying, you're going to have spotters out there, okay? And these spotters get paid to locate people that are prepping, okay? These spotters get paid really good money. They get paid silver and gold. They get paid money. They get paid all kinds of marijuana, whiskey, all kinds of things to spot people. Go out and spot for these gangs. So watch for these spies. Watch for these spotters. Watch for people that come up with a grin on their face, talking to you, trying to make friends if you're bugging out. Don't trust anyone. Just shoot them. Just shoot them. Immediately shoot them. I've had people say, oh, we have a neighborhood watch. We have a neighborhood watch. We're fine. Look, folks, those people will eat your hamster, okay? Forget about your neighborhood watch. When people are hungry, it's not a neighborhood watch anymore. It's a war zone, okay? You are in a war zone, okay? Listen to me tonight, okay? You're in a war zone. Become enemies, okay? Your neighbors become your enemy in a war zone, in a grid. There is no community in a grid down situation. And if you're in a compound like the one Faith was describing a while ago, you're going to have infiltrators and you're going to have enemies in that camp, and you're going to have to be top security in that camp, and you're going to have to be alert and oriented to who's going to turn on you and take everybody's stuff and run and leave the camp. You're going to have this happen. You will have this happen. Someone will pay someone to do this and infiltrate and kill all of you and take everything you have and shut the camp down and or take the camp over in a coup. I've seen this happen twice. So I know that most of you haven't thought of this, but it will happen. It will happen. There's just no way around it. It will happen. Right now, Kim Jong-un is threatening to push the button for EMP, electromagnetic pulse, which would knock out the United States grid and would kill 70 million people in a year. 70 million people would die. 70 to 90 million people would die in a year. Kim Jong-un is planning. He's the only little goofball on the planet there that's really planning to do this, and he can and he will. China will not do this. Russia will not do this. Now, North Korea will do this. If anybody does this, it'll be North Korea, okay? Just because they can, okay? And they're nudging up with Russia right now. Russia's nudging up with China right now, and they're all three the big bears there, you know? They're the big hunchos on the block, and there's three of them, and there's one of us here in the United States. And believe me, the United States is not prepared. Everybody in Russia is going in October the 4th. They're going into the bunkers, okay, 50 million people. They're going into the bunkers. People in Switzerland, people in Ireland, people in all over Poland and all these different places, they have bunkers. Russia has enough bunkers for three-quarters of its population. They're ready, okay? They're ready, okay? These guys are ready. The Russians are ready. Chinese are ready, okay? The United States, a bunch of dead people already dead. Not ready at all, okay? You guys and girls are going to be dead as a doornail, most of you, okay, talking, listening to my voice right now, because you're not ready. You're not going to be ready, and there's a lot of people that aren't listening to this show tonight who just might as well go ahead and sign their death certificate. They're gone, because they're not prepped. They don't even have a case of water in their house. They don't have any dry beans. They don't have rice. They don't have dry goods. They don't have nothing, weapons, nothing. They're just going to be naked and scared and afraid. And they're slowly going to perish, okay? And that's just the way it is in a grid-down situation or any kind of major catastrophic event or disaster. That's the way it is. Faith, do you want to say a few words? I've said some pretty crazy things here, pretty tough stuff.
I would love to speak. Thank you. So there's so many different people from other countries who represent those countries in the melting pot we call America. A large amount of those inhabitants in America are from other countries, and some are the tribes, but a lot of them come from other places. The integration is here in America, the melting pot. I do believe that it would go against their business plans to do specific actions in specific locations. I do believe that there are meetings that do occur that are business related, and I think that that's helping to prevent that from stopping that from occurring. I do believe that the people that I have met from other locations, that they themselves are trying really hard to integrate in the communities, but they have their own compound. There's a lot of different families. Like, I know for sure the Jamaicans, some of them nearby, they have their own castle compound where they have people standing at the gate with guns already. There's a lot of beings around the world. I have beings in the jungles. I have soldiers in the jungles of Peru. I have them all over the world. I have, like, not everywhere, but I have many who are, you know, here to help save as many innocent people and loved ones and families and beings as possible in the areas that they're at, and they're already getting hunkered in, and there's already plans in the making just in case something happens, and that's part of what we're working on is the off-grid communities. However, when that happens and in those situations, what do we do as a protective core unit to make sure that we get from point A to point B? Because obviously staying in one location, if it's not completely sustainable, long-lasting in that aspect, where do we go from there and how do we get there? And I like your idea with the motorcycle, the bicycle, and the scooter. And I was on mute telling the ones who are watching on Facebook, the beloveds on Facebook listening in right now, that it's a good idea if you're a parent and you have small children, make sure that your bicycles can get the kids on it. Make sure that you have some sort of a small, long wagon or something to pull them along or to bring just what's needed for an emergency situation. But if you have to hop on, get to one place to another, if the cars are stopped, having a bicycle or a scooter or a motorcycle is very beneficial to the point of there's going to be some place to get around. And if that's not possible, then at least you tried. But I think that outdoor scooter, motorcycle, and bicycle would be dangerous when it comes to air pollution and flying embers and things like that. I think that a closed container makes sense. Make sure that the four corners of the house are watered in the major fire areas. I talked to someone else who does the NBC News and the CNN News, and he's one of the photographers, but he also does survival. He helps to save lives, and he's put out a lot of fires and said that during the fires, the way to save the homes was to spray every corner, all four corners, and then it prevents the house from going up in flames. So houses that he did that to are the ones that were saved in that aspect. Also,
yeah.
If you are
yeah.
in flood,
yeah.
I know another method is to take off your pants and tie them tight and put it around underneath your arms or around your shoulder area. I think that if there's like the floaty because of the oxygen gathered in the pants is what you have to do. Make sure that you can gather
yeah.
the oxygen in the pants before twisting it tight in that way. And never
yeah.
never lose hope in digging a hole and hiding until it's safe to come out. One of the doctors who I'm working on connecting to our hospital in Kisumu, Africa, I'm creating cures for, helping to create cures for and with, he and his brother had to bury themselves in a village near you. I think it was Kisumu, Africa, right there on the Congo on the border. And he had to bury himself and his brother as well. And they were in a hole for 10 days. And then they came out, and everyone in their village was dead except for them. Somehow they made it to the East Coast.
Yeah.
He was studying to be a doctor. Some lady saw him out there. She sent him to Harvard. And he got home. He went back to the jungles to help the children and the families there to create cures and medicine for them. And he has a practice, that specific doctor. I have to find out the name, and I'll let you know when I remember what it is. But it's such an amazing story of survival.
I wanted to mention the flotation device is a great idea. Your blue jeans act as a flotation device. If you just pull them down, the air will go up in the tie and stop, and then you can float for a very long time. I like that. People have done that in the ocean a lot. The other thing is if you're in your car, or anything below a 1980, older than a 1980, well, you can probably get around in still, but anything with a computer chip, you won't be able to move. Now, think about this. You're on the highway, and all of a sudden, a wreck happens, right? Well, what happens? Traffic's backed up for a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles, 4 miles. I've seen it as far as 7 miles, okay, coming through Colorado, coming through Utah, coming through Las Vegas. Now, think about this. A grid-down situation happens. A radiological situation happens. An emergency happens. Every car that has a chip gets stopped in the middle of the road. I want you to think about this for just a minute. Your computer's gone, your phone's gone, your car's gone, your transportation's out. Have a bug out bag in the car. Have everything in the car, in the trunk, ready to go and get out and go. Don't wait. The minute you suspect that this is what's happened, get out and go. And run away from the crowd. Don't run with the crowd. Run where everybody's not running. That's going to be a dangerous situation, and that is very scary. If you've ever been in a wreck and you've had to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait, I've had to wait for 3 to 5 hours. Think about a grid down situation. You're not going anywhere. You're not going to pick your kids up. You're not going to pick your husband or wife up. You're not going home. You're going to have to walk. You're going to have to huff it and puff it. You're going to have to get home any way you possibly can, back to the fortress, or you're going to have to bug out for a long, long, long time. Okay? What Spence was saying a while ago is also very important. We have sleeper cells in the United States, and I can't talk a lot about this, but Faith knows what I'm talking about. We have very, yes, very, very dangerous sleeper cells in the United States that are ready to come and get you. Okay? And so beware of this. In your mind, there are sleeper cells, okay? And they're ready and waiting, and they're fully locked and fully loaded. They're ready to go and come after the Americans, okay? Because our military, in a grid-down situation or in a black ops situation where the deep state has completely taken over and starts giving orders to our military to kill American citizens, which they've already trained them for, by the way, most of our military is going to say, fuck you. We're not killing American citizens. But guess what? The United Nations will. The foreigners will. The Chinese that are already in Canada will, okay? We have so many Chinese in Canada that are ready to kill you. It is unbelievable. They're training there to kill you, okay? So they're going to be coming down from the north, and then you're going to have the gangs coming up from the south. They're going to see a great opportunity, the cartels, to take advantage of this situation, and they're going to be coming from the south. So beware of these gangs and beware of these organizations and beware of these folks that are very highly strategically prepared to come for you and kill you or steal your children. I know some of you are PMing me right now saying, well, aren't you being a little over the top, Kyler? No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not being over the top. If I was any less, I would be doing you a disservice. I couldn't sleep tonight, and neither could Faith, if we did not tell you the truth of how catastrophic and how dystopic and how dangerous and how deadly this situation can be, okay? And you all need to be preparing for this situation, okay? And I couldn't go to sleep tonight, and neither could Faith, if we didn't tell you what we know and what we suspect and what we've seen before and just out of common sense what could happen, okay? The worst case scenario, we couldn't sleep tonight. Okay, knowing that we didn't pair you guys and girls for this. Chris, I think you made it. Chris, we're talking about preparedness tonight, being ready, being prepared for a grid-down situation or a major civil uprising or revolution, and how dangerous and dystopic and deadly and violent it's going to get. Is that you, Chris? Who is that?
Yeah, that's me, brother.
Yeah. How's it going?
Yeah, it's me. It's going good. I just was in a meeting, and I was like, everybody, I need to get off this meeting. I said, I got to go to the radio show. And they were like, no, you can't go to the radio show. Do you help us with these numbers, and we get it all right. So I got it all right, and here I am. So now time for me to hear what y'all been sharing, because I don't want you to repeat it all. I just want to hear what else is coming. Oh, so you ain't got to give me an update.
Faith and I have given a really in-depth scenario, a very in-depth education and information on how to be prepared for a dystopic, dangerous, deadly, violent disaster where people are coming to eat your children and kill you and rape and maim you and your husband and everybody else in the house, and why you should be prepared, how you can prepare, and what skills you're going to need and what talents you're going to need and what psychological and spiritual frame of mind you're going to need, what level of consciousness you're going to need, and just how dangerous and serious this is. This is not a game tonight. Faith and I have been very hard, very tough, and very informative on what to do in this type of situation. This is a war zone we're talking about. It's not a neighborhood watch. We told people, you know, it's not a neighborhood watch. This is not a bunch of friends getting together like a barbecue and fending off bad people coming into the neighborhood. This is war. This is one of the worst things that you could ever possibly imagine happen in a situation or an EMP, electromagnetic pulse grid down situation, or any other kind of natural disaster. People are going to turn into mad, crazed, killing zombies and murderers. Okay, Chris?
Yes. And you know what? Just for some reality of the people in the USA, you have no idea what war is on your homeland. No idea. You know, I met people like from the Gaza Strip. I'm at church one morning, just for an example. And this man from the Gaza Strip talks to me that day. And the things that he said enlightened me. It was what he really said. He said, "You don't understand what war is, because a bomb ain't went off in your bedroom while you were asleep. A bomb did not level four city blocks with everybody you knew. People in this country have no clue of your everyday existence, just blah, blah, blah. I'm going to do this. Got to get my Lexus. Going to go do my six-figure job, sitting behind this chair. And what are you really doing? Are you paying attention to what's going on throughout the world and what other people are doing? Not one bit. Don't even watch the news, 75 to 85% of you. You know why? Because it's negative. They ain't giving you positive shit on the news. They're giving you negative. But guess what? If you take that negative, you can find a positive. But if you do nothing with that negative, you are the problem. That's where people need to realize we have not had war in our front door. You're about to. We're in a civil war right now, and they're trying to make it against everybody. You know, and when we had the civil war, that was brother against brother and sister against mother. So if you don't think your family will kill you, you're wrong. And you need to know this. Every military person that is in the military collecting a check, do you know they had to sign a paper that said if the government deemed their mother, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, grandmother, grandfather, grandson, granddaughter, your daughter or son, does not matter, if they deem them a domestic terrorist, they want you to fulfill your order. And do you know they all had to sign
it? They've already trained for that, too. I was telling, I don't
they've
think
already
it was you,
trained
Chris,
for it.
But we were on air one night. Yeah, they've put up pregnant women. They've been, you know, all the military bases. I went to two of them, and they were training, and they were putting up pregnant women, senior citizens walking on canes, mentally retarded children for them to shoot for practice. They were putting up cardboards of them, and they were training them and desensitizing them to kill innocent pregnant women, innocent senior citizens, and innocent children and innocent babies. The whole family just wipe them out like they did in Afghanistan, like they did in Iraq. Nobody wants to hear that our soldiers went over to Afghanistan and Iraq and raped all the little children. Nobody wants to hear about that, you know, nobody. But they did. They did, and they enjoyed it, and they got by with it, and it was fun, and it was frolic, and it was party time. But, you know, they don't want to talk about that. They just want to talk about how honorable our veterans are and how wonderful our veterans are and how patriotic we are. And, boy, I'll tell you, Judith, you people don't know what the hell is going on in this world, okay? United Nations soldiers raping children, hundreds of thousands of them. I got two producers in South Africa. Well, they talk about United Nations soldiers going down the street, just picking a house and raping all the children in the house and the wife in the house and then just driving off. Go ahead, Faith.
That's so horrible. It's really, really very devastating. Recently, I brought Chris in also to one of my projects that I'm working on. I was brought in by a mercenary who said he wants to change things and help those who are without shelter. He found a location that used to be in the 1920s right next to the Naval Air Base. We believe that it was a place that they held the Japanese. And then there was so much blood there. The whole place was haunted. I walked in alone with the key, and it looked like a prison. There was barbed wire gates. The gate was broken, but it was an electrical gate. And he plans on putting back up the gate. He plans on taking in 250 children and families and 800 veterans. The buildings have to completely come down and be rebuilt. We're looking to put biome habitats. If we keep it that way, I'm concerned that it will be turned into one of those camps. And we're growing gardens there. We're rejuvenating the land. But I know for a fact we're going to find a lot of bones. When you showed me that video earlier today, you sent me a little animation. The facility looks like that is showed in the very beginning of that. It looks very similar to that facility. And it's extremely concerning, the fact that facilities like that still exist and that they've been used recently to put away children and others. And the reason that they closed is because there were so many reports of missing and abused teenagers. It was specifically for teenage boys who they felt belonged there. And they began that at 1945, and it closed in 2008. But now they have brought me to
Truman,
create cures and medicine and create solutions that are sustainable with gardens and habitats.
Truman made a deal with the extraterrestrials to be able to take our children and our women and people and, you know, bond with them out of the national parks, all of the national parks, all of the national forests and state forests. I don't know if you all have looked into it or not, but the missing persons list is 20 miles long in the national park. They've never found these people. They've never found a trace of these people, and they've closed the situation down to national security. We dug into this, and we weren't able to break down the wall at all. I mean, they stonewalled us to death. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to deal with it, and they won't talk about it. And they're under top secret classification not to talk about it. This is all the way back to Truman. Made a deal with the extraterrestrials to be able to take humans. Go ahead. But
thank you. You know what's wild is that when I was walking out there, I was about a mile and a half in, and I told them, I said, you know, the key's not working for the doors. It's unlocking them, but it's like something's on the other side holding the doors closed. And Chris and Siva, my other business partner, they were like, yeah, that's really strange. There's a lot of, you know, like maybe they don't want anyone to disrupt them there because there's so many souls there that were trapped there and died there, bodies.
Yeah.
And I said, well, if it's supposed to happen, I feel like the door will just be open. And I think it's going to be on the left side. And all of a sudden the door slammed open and something crawled out. And I kid you not, it looked like a 6-foot tall starfish.
Yeah.
It didn't have like a head. It had like a pointed top of its head. It looked like a starfish, and it kind of scooted out. And I was like, maybe that's somebody who got blown up, and that's just what he looks like. And maybe not. Maybe it's some sort of other type of being. But as soon as I said that, they heard me all the way across the field, half a mile across the field, and that door slammed open and it scooted out. And I was like, you guys, I just said that if it's open, maybe I should go. They're like, no, you got to get out of there. And the phone hung up. Every time it got really intense, the phone would hang up the call with them. And so I started to run. I ran, and Chris said to her, I'm running, that he could see me running because we're family. We really are a full family. We're a soul tribe. And then I got the phone to answer again. Once I saw it was off, I was like, because I ran half a mile, and I was wearing high heel boots because I was wearing a dress. I was like, this is a business meeting. This is going to be nice, and it's going to be – no. I made it out of there. And when I asked them, they're both veterans, I asked them about what I saw. They shrugged it off like it was nothing. Oh, that's just they're just doing stuff back there. Don't worry about it. And there was no other vehicles there. The whole place was closed in with that gate except for the building that I walked through to get into that area. And there was one gate that they'd have to go through to get into that specific area, and it had no clothes on. It completely looked all pink and naked. It had a big, big mouth.
Yeah, that's sitting here all pink and naked right now, Faith, during the show. And it's wonderful.
Oh, good.
I'm only kidding.
You have
I'm
arms
only kidding.
I'm golden.
Canada is building FEMA camps all over the place. I don't know if y'all know this or not. FEMA is building FEMA camps all over the place. Okay. Unbelievable building going on. Massive building going on. And the United States has FEMA camps already built. And, of course, we have underground guns that underground, yes, of course, cities all over the world.
San Francisco and the cities, there's the underground.
Yeah. Well, these are massive underground cities. We're talking 22 floors down. We're talking massive tunnels that go crisscross the United States and underneath the Atlantic Ocean and all the way to the Pacific Ocean. We're talking about massive, massive cities. Fully staffed underground with every species that you could possibly imagine in your wildest dreams. And things that are going on down there that would just literally scare people into a cardiac arrest on the surface of the earth here. So that's been going on for a long, 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 long time. And, of course, the UAVs are capturing children and they're sequestrating children all over the world, the UAV. So we've already mastered anti-gravity, scalar technology, zero-point energy, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, all of these things are going on, folks. And you talking about where you went and got scared with that weird-looking pink thing, it reminds me of Tuskegee, you know, the Tuskegee experiments and the Nazi experiments. You know, the Nazis were experimenting on people for mind control with LSD, kind of like the CIA with the capturing people and bringing them into these experiments with LSD and ayahuasca and DMT and all kinds of other psychotropics and all kinds of other drugs and all kinds of brain stimulation and brain implants. And this has been going on for a long, long time also. And so, yeah, all this stuff happening, and it's very scary. It's very, very, very dangerous, and it's going to continue to happen. It's not going to stop. It's only going to get worse. And as I told Mary, we were driving along yesterday, and Mary said, you know, this is wacky world. She said, this is crazy. This is insane. She said, I can't even really imagine the things that we're studying over the last 10 years. I just can't. It's just hard to grasp, you know, what's happening here. And I said, well, what's happening here is nothing, honey. I said, what's happening way, way above top secret is something that you couldn't even fathom. Your brain couldn't even grasp at all. I mean, they're down here. This is silly cinema, what we're going through. This is just silly cinema. This is dog and pony show. This is theatrics, is what we're going through. The real shit is happening behind closed doors. The real shit is happening underground. The real shit is happening in space. The real shit is happening through the portals of Switzerland and the CERN project and others in China and the United States. I guess you know they cranked CERN back up again. I guess you know China got the contract to build a larger sun. Everybody's trying to my dick bigger than your dick kind of thing. So they're building a bigger and faster portion. And entities are coming through these portals. If you're going in for information, you're taking a chance, and of course, the consequences are you might get the information you're going after with a certain team, but coming out of the portal is going to be a lot of things you did not want to come through the portal. You did not want to come back, but that's the consequences of going in for the information in the first place. This is what's happening, folks. And I got off the channel here a little bit, got off the subject a little bit, but I wanted you to know about these things because they are and they have been happening, and they're going to continue to happen. But back to prepping just a little bit, you know, we're ready. Marion and I and our small team are ready. We are locked and loaded. We are dangerously loaded. We are full of everything. And we've got the food supplies. We've got the equipment. We've got the supplies and materials. The only thing we're lacking right now for the disaster team is our advanced life support equipment. And that's why I'm asking Faith and Chris to help me get that $75,000 grant. Because we need some IV bags. We need some intubation equipment, some laryngoscopes, some ET tubes. We need some IPPV, intermittent positive pressure ventilation equipment. We need some backboards. We need some extrication equipment. We need LifePak 5s. We need, you know, to be able to read EKGs in the field. We need to be able to suture in the field. We need suture kits. We need drugs. We've got a couple of doctors that are going to act as protocol doctors for standing orders. We need basic life support kits, bigger ones. We got small ones now. We need the big basic life support kits. And we need some other things like solar panels that Chris has been talking to me about. I've got room on top of this 31 foot for 4 big solar panels. We need to get some solar in, and we need to get some other things. So, yeah, we need help, and you called Chris your business partner a while ago. I would love to know behind closed doors what kind of business y'all are partnering in. I'd love to get a piece of that and help out, consult, advise, sweep some floors, mop some toilets, whatever I can do to help, I will. If y'all will help me, and I know that, Faith, you said you're sending our proposals to one of your contacts, which is a great thing, and I know Chris is working behind the scenes to try and help get us that $75,000 for the disaster team. We will be able to accept the money as of next Wednesday. We called the state, and we got our international approval or whatever it's called. I don't even know what the hell it's called. Boy. Feeding back really bad. Let me mute Faith for just a second and see if that's her. Yeah, that's Faith. Faith, we're going to have to fix your microphone somehow. You're going to have to adjust your phone somehow. I want you to get a laptop and a headset. Get a headset. Get a Bluetooth headset if you can. But yeah, Chris, I want to thank you and Faith both for helping us down here, us poor folks down here. I was telling Faith before you came on how wonderful and I helping people in need. We worked all night last night, helping people in need. And I just, it was just unbelievable. You know, the smiles on these people's faces is enough to make you cry. And the smiles on these kids' faces when we took bicycles back to.
That's the fuel, man. Huh? That's the fuel. See, that smile, that's bringing joy to someone that wasn't feeling it. All right, and when I tell people, you know, I'm a poor man, but you know what? I feel like I'm the richest man on earth because of those, when I'm able to meet a need and see that smile and that joy and take away that stress that person's going through at that time. And it could be anything.
Yeah.
It could be anything. Just having a problem, you know, with someone else, you know, but being there, not being judgmental, because I can't judge anyone. I can only judge myself to be better than I was yesterday. And that's my only purpose. I'm not here to judge another person. Everybody do your thing, who you are and what you are. That's who you are and what you are. It's not my job to judge you. You just judge yourself. Now, do you want to continue to be who you are? Because I like this question here. Here's one I ask every person everywhere, and I'll say it every night when I'm on here. Who are you when no one is around, when you get to create and make a sound. You have no other influences, and that's your question. Write your list to yourself. If you don't like your list, change it. You have that choice, because I'll never make your mind up for you. But you know what? There's people out there trying to make my mind up for me, and I would rather tell you about it or hear about it from one of you that is telling me what others are trying to do to me that I didn't know, because I need to know. The more we know, the stronger and the better we're going to grow.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, we make a great Marvel team here. I really do. I'm the Punisher. I'm the warrior, you know, I'm the crazy guy. I'm the guy that's espionage and literally with the programming and interrogation. You know, I'm the guy that reads minds and like face, and I'm the guy that can just move mountains, literally, you know, of communication. And Chris, you have your wonderful skills, excellent skills that I've talked about on air enough to where you should be honored. And Face has wonderful skills that I've looked at on all of her videos. You think I've looked at all of her videos? I spent one whole night looking at her videos. It's unbelievable stuff she's doing. Precious stuff, wonderful stuff, powerful stuff, real stuff. You know, I can tell a fake a mile away. Psychics, I can tell these palm readers. I'm a palm reader. I'm a psychic. I mean, I know all the tricks. I know all the tricks of psychic ability and palm reading and all this other bullshit and crystal balling. I know all the tricks. But there's tricks, and then there's the real thing. You know, Face is the real deal. I am the real deal, or I can be the fake. Chris, you and I have talked about this. You know, I can be the fake. I can read your mind. I can read your life. I can read your eyes. I can read your body language. I'm a human lie detector. I can do it in a good way, or I can do it in a diabolical way, depending on the circumstances and the situation and whatever I'm trying to accomplish at the time. But, yeah, it's wonderful. We make a great team, and I hope we stay together for a long time. I think that there's going to be people trying to separate us at some point. They may have already tried to infiltrate our group and separate us. Maybe y'all have heard something bad about me, or I heard something bad about you. But I always fend it off, and I know Faith would too, and say, you know, fuck you. If you have anything bad to say about Kyler, let's get him on the phone right now and talk to him about it. How about that? And I do the same with you, Chris. If anybody says, you know, Chris is doing this and doing that, I say, well, you know what? Let's get Chris on the phone, and you tell him what he's doing. How about that? Okay? Because Chris is my friend, and I don't give a shit what he does. He's my friend, okay? I don't give a shit what he's done in the past. I don't give a shit if he's made 1,000 mistakes. I've made 10,000. Shut up and leave Chris alone. Leave Faith alone. We're a team. We're going to stay a team, and you're not going to disrupt that flow of energy, okay? Okay, so that's the way I am. And while I'm at it, I want to mention to all of you about relationships. This just came to me, okay? If your relationship at home is not good, you're not going to be a warrior. You're not going to be successful. You're not going to be effective. You're not going to be strong. You're not going to accomplish your goals and your objectives. You're not going to go out there and really do the best you can do and be the best you can be if your relationship at home is shaky. I've got friends we're counseling with right now. We've got 5 couples we're counseling with. One of our guys just went to jail. You know who that was, Chris. I don't have to tell you. But he went to jail. He got stabbed, but probably deserved to get stabbed because he was doing some bad things to his girlfriend. But he finally, Chris, you didn't know he went to jail. He's in jail. I don't know how long he's going to be there. We'll find out. But I love him. I love him. I love him. I love him. Don't get me wrong. I know you love him. But
right.
Everybody makes mistakes. Yeah. You know, everybody makes stupid mistakes.
Well,
and so
here's
relationship.
A simple one.
Get your. Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I didn't mean to interrupt because you were on a roll, but just a simple thing.
Oh, go ahead.
It's human to error, okay? We are going to make mistakes, period. You are not perfect,
mm-hmm.
and none of us are, and people are going to make mistakes.
No.
But just know this, a 5-second decision can have a lifetime of consequences.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my God, yes. Yes, 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 yes. And we, you know, all of the problems, Chris, that I've created in my life before I was 40 all of the crazy decisions I made, wrong choices and bad turns. I met Mary, kind of like would be meeting Faith. Faith and Mary have a lot in common. And I calmed my ass down and I straightened up. And I was undercover, you know. When I met Mary, I was in my last year of undercover work. And she really made me understand a lot about love and caring and discernment and intuitive. She worked with me and I learned a lot. I've grown up a whole lot. I didn't start growing up until I was 40, I tell people. I tell people I was just a complete idiot until I was 40. I was not even human. I don't know what the fuck I was. I mean, I was doing great things. Don't get me wrong. I was 007. I was best. I was the best agent out there. I was the best team leader out there. I was the best guy for the job. But I was just stupid, making stupid decisions. And I was drinking too much, and I was doing too many crazy things. Marion's over here laughing. But he straightened my ass out, you know. But if your relationship at home is not good, gosh, I don't know what to tell you, folks. Get away from each other. You know, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but if you're stabbing each other and slapping each other and throwing shit at each other and calling the cops on each other every 2 days, 3 days, whatever week, just get away from each other. Yep. I've worked with so many women. I've worked with so many women that get the hell beat out of them once a week, and they call me, and I ask them, why are you staying? Well, because I know he loves me inside, and he said he was going to change, and I'm staying for the kids, and, you know, and I'm, well, you got a black eye, bloody nose, you've lost your two front teeth, your ear's been pulled halfway off, you've been stabbed in the stomach, you're staying for the kids. Is that what I just heard you say, stupid? You know, are you retarded? Are you mentally retarded? How long have you been going through this? 3 years now? You've been staying for the kids and getting beat up, stabbed? Next thing you know, he's going to shoot you. You know, Chris, people, and Faith, both of you are alive now. You're open. People tell me this kind of stuff, and I just go, what the fuck? What the fuck? You know, do people just want punishment? Do they want to be, they feel like they have to be punished? They've been a bad girl or a bad boy, or, you know, they love the punish. They love the negative attention. I know Faith has got an answer for this. They love the negative attention. Mm-hmm. It's better than no attention. Better than no attention at all is negative attention, even if it turns violent. It's Stockholm syndrome. You fall in love with your captor. You fall in love with your captor, you know?
Well, you know, Faith, that actually stems from birth. I know. Faith, you there?
I'm here. I'll let you speak, and I'll speak.
I love ladies first, so he did address you, and I would love to hear your perspective to that.
Thank you very much, and hello. It's beautiful to be able to communicate with you again. So, Stockholm Syndrome. In reality, it's... So look at where they came from. Say that there's two parents, and they argue a lot. The children witness that. They witness the way that they treat each other. They watch the television. They see how they treat each other on the television. They go to school. There's different children going through different experiences. They interact in different ways. There's also the music and the inspiration and influence with that in some places. So there's a lot of different things psychologically happening to those individuals. They also have imprints on them. So I call it ancestral healing that has to occur. So they may not be the first ones that got a boost used in their family. It could be all the way generational to like a grandparent or a grandfather related to the grandmother. And what has to be stopped is that acceptance that it's something that just happened.
Faith. The Hebrew calls it generational curses. The Indians, the natives call it generational curses.
But there has to be a stop. And it has to be the door to value, the door to worth. Once they acknowledge that they're in a cycle and that they need to start looking for relationships that are not just like the ones before, that may be a comfort, they may have certain qualities that are comforting to them. But usually it has to do with sex, pleasure, and pain. So in order to break that cycle, they have to go to a place of, I love you unconditionally as my family. I see you, but I don't need to change you. You see me, this is where I draw the line, right there. And that's where you draw the line right there. Can we integrate with these lines drawn? If that's a no, then that relationship has to go through counseling. They have to see if they really do want to go through that energy and effort together to be able to integrate. It takes self-worth. It takes communal love and an innocence, a very pure
right.
kind of love, not a fiery, passionate, angry kind
you know,
of love. And that's
Faith,
what has to change.
Faith. Yeah, Faith, we're running a little short on time, but I wanted to say, Faith and Chris, I used to take my kids from the gangs. You know, I used to work from the DA's office and take the prisoners in and turn the felons out and get them jobs and all that kind of thing, get them integrated back into the community. And I would take, I had a lot of special needs kids that I would get back into the community and get jobs for and help them with everything. And I learned a lot from that. It really helped me a lot to learn about people, to learn about forgiveness and to learn about judgment and stuff like that. And what you were talking about, Faith, is just beautiful. You know, I understand where you're coming from. This generational thing, you know, the curse has got to be broken, and these people need positive influences around them like Faith and Chris and me and Spanky and others and Michael. They need positive influences. They need people that understand them. You know, and kids, I've learned something about kids. Kids, I'm so honest with kids, I get in trouble with parents up here. Kids know more than their parents do, and the parents don't know that they know more than they do. And the parents are so stupid, they don't allow that intelligence to come out. They quash that intelligence. They kill that intelligence. I talk to the kids just like I'm on their level. I talk about sex. I talk about drugs. I talk about this, that, the other, and it's just a beautiful thing. And the kids love me. They hug me. They kiss me. They trust me. We play football, basketball together. I'm fixing the bikes. They're coming over. We're playing guitars for them. But their parents, they close up. They won't talk to their parents because their parents don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They just want to punish them and go to your room. Go to your room.
Well,
shut up. Sit down. You should be seen, not heard. You know?
There.
You know?
What you just said.
You should be seen, not heard.
You've been a bad. To where I was going.
Yeah.
Yeah, just what you were saying right
there
stems back to where I started to go there, if I could interrupt you for a quick sec. You know, there's several things that you as a human being should have never been taught. One is hatred. The other is envy. The next one is spite. All right, if you take hatred, anger, and, you know,
envy
and spite, and you live your life, your brain, this is a scientific fact here in today's America, in the world, not just here, but everywhere. Every human being will have 4,000 to 40,000 negative thoughts per day. Holy crap. Why are we thinking so negative? This is a serious question. I don't think negative like that. Okay? I don't think that way. I don't bring it to my conscious level to sit here and just think of a negative thing that I got to deal with on a negative way. I'll think of a negative if it comes up, or I'll deal with a negative as it comes up. But I will come at it with a direct positive. Now, 95% of the time, the next comment, and I can show you in text messages this, somebody will respond negatively. Okay? We are programmed to respond negatively. And it takes less muscles for us to smile than it does for us to frown. And why aren't we smiling? You're putting effort into hatred. You don't have to put effort into
Chris.
Love.
Chris,
yeah.
You and I were talking the other night, Chris, on the show. You and I brought up the fact that people, when they meet you, they're subconsciously looking for the worst in you. They're looking for the dirty thing. They're looking for the nasty thing you did 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 5 years ago. They're looking for your faults. They're looking subconsciously. They're looking for your faults. Now, that's the way humans are built, okay? And it takes a lot to reprogram yourself not to do that with people. It's okay to be paranoid, and it's okay to be careful, and it's okay to be, you know, introspective and all that. But just to look at people and be thinking, oh, what can I get on them? You know, what, oh, they did such and such, and oh, Chris did so-and-so, and oh, Chris and his wife, you know, that's the way people are, you know. And that's one of our big problems in America today, okay, is people thinking that way. They've been programmed to think that way through the media and other propaganda and other technologies. I want to play something for you all real quick before we go tonight. I wrote this in 20 minutes. I wrote this, Yeah, go ahead.
Can I say something real quick and then you play it? All right, I'm going to make an announcement today because I've been saying it. So I am going to be changing my on-air name to No One, a.k.a. Everyone. So my on-air name as of today, after today, will be No One. So everybody on Earth that's listening, you can tell somebody and tell everybody that you know No One. Okay, then you can say also know everyone. Okay, now let's come together. That's my name. I'm changing it today for my radio.
We all have a code name on the air. By the way, the roundtable has always had code names, and I just gave Faith her native name. I'm going to proclaim her Dream Weaver tonight. Faith, you're Dream Weaver. I want to play something for y'all, and I want to see. I was thinking about the World Wide Web, Chris. After you and I got together and we were talking about the World Wide Web and how crazy it is, and calling it Wacky World and all this other shit, and we can't figure out what the hell's going on. Everything seems crazy and upside down, right side up. I wrote this in about 20 minutes. It just came to me. I channeled it. It was channeled through me, and I was doing it in a W.C. Fields kind of voice. I wrote a. This is a spoken word piece that I do. Blow people away. I want to see if y'all think this makes any sense to you. I want you to get a grip on this and tell me what you think about this piece that I wrote in 20 minutes. And I just speed wrote it. Didn't edit it. Speed wrote it. Marion put it out, and it banged. There it was, all over the world. So this is in a W.C. Fields kind of style and kind of a Carney kind of style. And it's called Wonders of the Butterfly Girl. And here we go. I want to see what you and Faith think. Here we go.
Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. The Caps Man appearing live now on the World Wide Web. Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. We will put on a little free performance to show you the wonders of the butterfly girl, captured in the Rocky Mountains, put here on expedition to show the people what goes. She has no eyes, she has no feet, she eats and sleeps the same as you and I. That's right, you heard it here. Kyler Davenport, the wild man of talk radio, the one they love to hate, the man of the hour, the lord of the ladies, the envy of men everywhere. He can shake 'em, he can bake 'em, he can make Julian fries, the one who makes the ladies cry, the men cringe when he walks by. Step right up, ladies and gents, don't be shy. Get out of here, boy, you bother me. Don't you have a mother somewhere? Lo and behold, behind the curtain, the internet, public radio. You heard me right, destiny's the name. Public radio's our game. We can glaze them, we can daze them, we can amaze them. Nestled in the worldwide web of shit, lost in the sea of suckers. We are the shit inside the turkey, the C in the crap, and the D in the doo-doo. Three things I want to get off my chest right now. Fuck off, jerk off, and jack off away, sonny boy, you bother me. Don't you have a mother somewhere? As I open this curtain into the world we call the web, cover your eyes, put your fingers in your ass, I mean your ears. Pull the kiddies close, ladies. This is not for the faint at heart. A world of vanity, vexation, greed, speed, and need. A place where you can get rammed, scammed, and jammed all in one click. You can mourn for porn or fish for dick. Open your eyes, ladies and gents. Yes, I said wake up to the New World Order, the digital dragon, the whore of Babylon. Keep those kiddies close. As we step through the door, you will meet this monster, this dragon, this brain-sucking master of manipulation we call the World Wide Web. Yes, my friends, you have now entered the dragon, the place of no return, the place of lies, deceit, cunning, demented, lustful torture, the place where the children are captive. Yes, I said captive, enslaved. by mad, crazed, vain monsters we used to call parents. They parade their children on this cum-stained platform for all eyes in the world to see. You heard me right. Triple X kitty shows, man hoes, and where she stops nobody knows. The insane of the mundane, a place of fairy tales, morbid creatures of the night. Ghouls and goblins of every size, shape, and fashion. My friends, you are witness here and now to the beginning of the end, the jumping off point, the final hour. I give you fair warning, once in here you will never come out. You are in the bowels of hell, this void, this graveyard for the lost, the deprived, the perverted. Like bees to honey, they swarm, the poets, the writers, the singers, the dancers. Like crazed zombies, they come to show themselves off, to fall in love with faceless friends, to spend fortunes on women they have never met. Oh, and these faceless poets, casting their pearls before pigs, work after work after work for less money than a will work for beer bum on the street. Like old worn-out whores, they have given it all. They have been fucked and fucked and fucked. A book in the making, a movie deal, a new .com. Everyone gets a blue ribbon. Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Everyone gets a blue ribbon. My ass. Now, if you will just make yourself at home, you're going to be here for a while, a long while, I should say. Your head is going to be here a while. Oh, by the way, did you enjoy the Kool-Aid?
Well, there you go.
I love it.
Based off,
oh my goodness.
Well, Chris, I'll ask you first. You spoke up. What does that do to you there, Chris? What do you get out of that?
Man, I'll tell you what, you know, when you told me how you were going to read it, I'm sitting here and here it comes. And I love the delivery. Actually, the fact of covering so much stuff, I can call it crap, right? But just stuff, because knowledge isn't crap, people. It isn't shit. And I was sitting here thinking of where could I play that to people on a daily basis that I know in different groups. You know, how could I just hit the play button and just let it talk? Because there's so many messages that you put in there. And with energy, as you're talking to me, okay, you're telling me as you're also saying to others, because I'm hearing you speak to the entire, but I also heard you speaking directly. All right.
Probably a little new crazy spoken word methodology for you there. What did you think about my piece? It was... I kind of was just throwing myself at the World Wide Web and trying to metaphorically talk about how dangerous and dark and crazy and insane this whole fucking thing is. How do you think I did on that one?
I got tears in my eyes. I began to shake. No, I did. I got tears in my eyes because of the visions that were being shown as you were reading that. I was seeing different things of what you were speaking about. I acknowledged Tully, the dances, the songs, the music that teaches them to self-harm. It doesn't all teach all of them, just a small few of them that are able to get affected by that. And that way, it's really devastating, and it makes me want to protect my children that much more.
Yes, 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 yes. That's why I said this cum parent. Parents prayed their kids before this cum-stained platform. That was a very powerful statement that I made, because parents do pray their kids before this cum-stained platform. They don't realize that all of their children's pictures are going on porn sites all over the world. And I've proven this by sending porn shots to parents of their kids. You know, they don't realize that their kids are being facially profiled. Their grandkids are being facially profiled. They're starting a major data phishing expedition on their kids. The minute they put that first picture on the web, it's over, baby. They're owned now. You got to keep your kids off the web, folks. You got to keep your grandkids off the web, folks. You got to stop telling people what fucking school they go to, you ignorant motherfuckers. I see so many of you right now. I'm looking at nine. I just flipped over to my fourth screen. I'm looking at nine people telling people where their goddamn kids go to school, where they go to the YMCA, where they're playing football, where they're playing basketball, what kind of meetings they're going to, what kind of parties they're having, what kind of birthday party they're having. It's at grandma's house. I could go kidnap and kill and molest and maim every one of these fucking kids. And these stupid fucking parents don't understand what they're doing when they put their children on this very dangerous, dangerous, diabolical platform. Faith, do you have anything to say?
You know, being that my children have put the, they have a huge, like, fan base also, I do not post where they go to school. I for sure don't discuss that. I'm a strong believer in homeschooling the children. When we are able to do that, it's very beneficial for them psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually. If they do have to go to school, for sure, do not inform anyone about that. I guarantee somebody's watching. And when you think about that, you want to make sure that they're protected. Teach them not to talk to strangers. Teach them that to know who your friends are, who is trusted, and the fact that you would probably not have anybody go pick them up from school that wasn't you, or you would not tell them about it beforehand, or the school would not inform them beforehand. You always have to do the security check and make sure that they have a backup plan. If somebody's following them home, tell them how to escape, how to get away from it, what options are there to do.
Right.
But usually I think it's better to pick them up if they are going to school rather than have them walk home. I had people drive after my daughters when they were walking home one day with the headlights on, and they had to run.
We've done so many shows on child security, on kid security, and I don't believe in stranger danger. I don't believe in a banging stranger danger down kids' throats because it's making them psychotic, and I don't believe in doing that. I don't do it that way. I have a different way of approaching that than other counselors or other advisors do with kids. I just tell them, hey, there's a lot of wacky fucking people in the world, and, you know, some people are wacky, some people are less wacky, and some people are not too wacky at all, but you kind of watch everybody, you know. There's always a dirty old grandpa out there, which I kind of giggle about. You won't want to play with little Susie at the reunion because he's had too much Jack Daniels. So I kind of find a lot of humor in some of this, as to some parents don't, but fuck them, I don't care. I find a lot of humor in dirty old uncles and dirty old grandpas. There's one in every family, you know, that you go, oh, there comes Grandpa Bill. Hide little Susie, you know, get Susie in your lap. Yeah. But anyway.
What did you say, Bread Ho or Bread Hog?
It is a platform. Huh?
Is it Bread Ho or Bread Hog? What is that?
I don't
You just said that.
I don't know.
You were talking about... It sounded like you said Bread Ho or Bread Hog, but okay.
No, grandpa.
Oh, grandpa, sorry.
30 old.
For sure not.
Yeah, there's all, every family's got one. Most every family's got one. You know,
yeah,
dirty old grandpa or dirty old uncle. Come here, girl. Bounce me on your knee. Let me bounce you on my knee, girl. There. Oh, you're like, yo, boom, 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 boom. You know what grandpa's thinking, right? Sexy little 12-year-old. But that happens in every family. It's been going on for millions of years, right? But I don't freak kids out with this stranger danger shit. But I do tell parents, look, I can go on there right now, and y'all can too, and I can send you pages where parents have told where they're going to school, what theater, what movie they're watching, what time they're watching it. The kids text. They don't put their privacy on their phone. I can find out where those kids are, what time the movie starts, what time it ends, who's picking them up, where they're going, what party they're going to. Parents really need to listen to me tonight and start a program of security and use your head, folks. Use your fucking head. Don't let anyone know where the group's going, the girls, tonight. Don't let anyone know what party they're going to. Don't let anyone know when the sock top is or the prom is. or the party or the theater or the opening or the, nothing. The piano recital. I don't care how proud you are of these little shits. Don't put it on the fucking internet. Because I can give you about 150 cases of kids that have been kidnapped for this very reason that I'm talking about right now. And that's all I have to say about that. We got about 10 minutes left. Chris, I'm going to let you and Faith just kind of carry us out of here. I've talked too much tonight.
Well, I don't know about that. But I definitely, I'll tell you. How's the weather? How's the fire? How, you know, let's talk about, you know, if we're going to end the day, how is the day? And then that way we have something that we can work for tomorrow to make yesterday never be, right? So
We helped so many people last night. I've already told Faith about it. You know, we helped so many people last night. It was beautiful. I put $50 in a guy's car who lost his whole house in the fire, lost his family, lost his fire, everything in the fire. Put $50 in his gas tank, got him on his way to his job, fixed his alternator for him. I'm a mechanic. And I got all the kids' bikes back to them today, and they were happy as a lark. I got my little girl's shirt to her, pink shirt today. Faith, go ahead, Faith.
That's amazing. Thank you for doing that. Sounds so much fun. And thank you for making medicine and helping them out, too. It's extremely important. You said that there's a lot that needs to be taken care of there also. And it's happening. I'm so thankful for that. Right now, there's a lot of different cases of rare cancers that I've been asked to help cure. So I'm making customized cures and treatments for different individuals. I've also done the sound frequency and energy healing, and I succeeded with that. I'm working on treating and curing and stopping malaria. They took my products over to the orphanage in Uganda. I had somebody here local take a bunch of different types of products, some for hysteria as well, for those who need help through that experience. Globally, the different areas where the fires, I think that everyone who is in the fire areas and they need to stick together, make sure that you're boiling your water, you're using steam. If your sinuses are clogged and you have trouble breathing, don't forget the healing medicine of steam. If there's any areas where it's jungle and very foresty, make sure you go with your heads covered, your glasses on, wear a two mask and a scarf, like a hijab, like those ones that the Muslims are, or those like gypsies or other types of folks, like turbans. Wrap that around the face and then make sure you have glasses on to protect the eyes as well. So you can go out and gather the plants that you can bring in to harvest the roots and the leaves and anything else, the mulch that you might need to be able to create a sustainable source of medicine and curing. Making sure that detoxing is the one thing that you're focusing on right after you inhale a lot of smoke or a lot of chemicals or any sort of chemical concoction that was put out into the air, that when you're inside your home and you're cooking that in the pot and you're breathing in the steam and you're drinking the teas and making the medicine soups, that you're really focusing on that going in to heal, that you're blessing them, that you're giving thanks for them, that they were able to survive enough to help you have that cure and that medicine to adjust the frequency so the body's easier to receive it. Something else that I noticed is the waters and the purification of that. I know that Chris and I are working on solutions for purifying waters. Do you want to talk a bit about that, Chris?
I love Berkey filters myself. I just put a water filter on a while ago. I wanted to say something about what you said, though, first, Faith. Candida, you know, Candida albicans is an opportunistic pathogen fungus that I've been talking about it with a friend of mine last night, and I kind of let him have the floor. But it tends to infect the host with defective immune function, including cancer patients and especially cancer patients. A growing number of studies that I've looked at have shown that C. albicans infection increases the host's susceptibility tremendously to cancer of all kinds of cancers, such as oral, gastric, and colorectal cancer like I had. And it's candidus. It's fungus. Cancer is fungus. And I don't care what anybody says, the link between candida and cancer, the analysis that I've looked at linked higher levels of candida and gastrointestinal tumors and tumors of the breast and gene activity promoting all kinds of inflammation and reduced cell adhesion. You know, I have a degree in emergency medicine and anatomy and physiology and chemistry, but the features associated late stage, especially with candidas and all types of funguses, are in there eating that, creating that fire, that fuel for the cancer, causes it to spread to distant organs, you know, known as metastasis, right? You can stop some of that metastasis with simple sodium bicarb, folks. Your cancer thrives in a heavy acid environment, and this is what candidus does, and this is what other funguses do, like Aspergillus spores. You know, a micrograph, if you'll look at it, of Aspergillus spore is a type of fungus that produces cancer-causing toxins of all kinds. And if you'll take sodium bicarb before you go to bed at night, baking soda, it will bring you into a more alkalinic balance, 7.2, 7.3 balance, and maybe even a little less acidic than that, will help to slow down the cancer. And then if you use other, methodologies with that, you can actually stop the cancer, like having unmanaged diabetes, having a weak immune system, eating a diet with excess refined carbohydrates, yeast, sugar, that causes cancer. Taking antibiotics causes cancer. Steroids, hormones, oral contraceptives all increase cancer. Cancer is a fungus, okay? Cancer is a fungus. And sugar, candida thrives on sugar. High carbohydrate intake and stress can all lead to feed candida. It feeds the cancer. Cleaning up the diet is the foundation and the key and will be a staple in keeping it at bay while addressing the infection and the underlying issues, which I teach, to ensure regular bodily functions are working properly, especially the bowel, okay? When you have too much candida, an overgrowth can cause several health problems, you know, including digestive issues. And if your digestive issues are bad, you're going to die. You're not going to function. If your bowel is not functioning, you're not functioning. It causes fatigue, joint pain, fibromyalgia. And you got to address the underlying cause, and this can help ease all of the symptoms of candidiasis and prevent any kind of reoccurring infections. I talk about this on many shows. I live in and on the human body, millions of them, including the genus of yeast known as Candida. So all of you look into that, because I teach this and a lot of other things concerning anatomy and physiology and chemistry. And I teach a lot of natural remedies and homeopathic methodology. So cancer is nothing but a fungus. It's a symptom. Okay, everything that comes up on your body, even a pimple or a pussy kind of pimple growth, is a fungus. It's a symptom. Everything is a symptom of something going on deeper inside. So you need homeostasis. You need balance. You need good diet, and you need an alkaline diet. Do not get acidity, you know. So anyway, that's my take on it. We got to go tonight. I wanted to hear the rest of you, Faith, but we'll do it tomorrow night. I love you, Chris. Love you, Faith. Hope y'all got something out of the fungus thing and the candidas thing and all the other funguses that are existing on and inside your body and your bowel. Take care of your bowel and live. Take care of your constipation and live. Eat right. Become a vegetarian, but have a little protein, a few carbohydrates. Don't eat sugar. Don't eat a lot of salt. Don't eat a lot of fructose. Don't eat all that junk and all those toxins and poisons and all those preservatives and colorings and flavorings. Very few naturopaths talk about that. I do. Love you guys. Remember, whatever you vividly imagine, ardently desire, and enthusiastically act upon will come to pass. Prince, you need to get on Skype. I hope you are. If you are, I'm going to go over there and say hi to you right now. I love you all. We'll see you tomorrow night. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.